The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM with Ross Briley, Rory Delaghi and Darren Owen in the studio. Three jumps meetings in the afternoon, Leicester, Market Racing and Wincanton. And we finish the day with an all-weather fixture on the Poly Track at Kempton. Four meetings, plenty to look ahead to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thanks, Mark.
Good man. Before we get stuck into Thursday's action, Mick, we've obviously got some good racing coming up this weekend from Aintree and Sandown. We've got some of the races priced up on the website as well. And reading the paper today, despite it only being the start of December, it's not too early to think about the Grand National, Mick. So.
Apparently not.
Yeah. Pino de Rey, they've talked about the chances of him possibly backing up, being the first horse since Red Rum, of course, to win the National back-to-back years. You're going to keep him over hurdles until then.
Won't make any difference, will it? The handicap will make sure he doesn't win it again, won't he?
Yeah, exactly.
They always do, don't they? Because there's such high quality races now with all 40 runners in the handicap proper, you can't do it. Whereas back in the old days, 10% of the field, maybe 20% if you're lucky, were in the handicap, and you could narrow it down to them. You couldn't win with over 11 stone.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could still narrow the National down to 4 or 5, but now you can't.
No, it's much more open nowadays, yeah. And much higher quality horses as well that could improve. And
I still haven't got my head around how he won last year's, to be honest.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that race at Cheltenham worked out very well, didn't it? A lot of winners came out of that, so it was clearly
true.
On the upgrade. But you could ask me now, I still won't pick him, I don't think. So.
No.
We've got some races over the National Fences this weekend, Mick. The Beecher Chase. We've got betting on site, Balbriggan, Chance de Roy and Mendip Express 10-1 co-favourites of 3, Gooniella is 11s, 12s for Green Flag, Just a Par and Our Father, 14-1 for Ben Benz, Saint R and Burton Portis, 16s with Highland Lodge and Knock a Hand and Mr Moonshine and Renard and Shakalaka Boom Boom, and then 20s or bigger. Bit about Mr Moonshine today, Sue Smith. She quite fancies his chances.
Yeah, once these sort of trips now, it's just got a big enough weight, hasn't he? 11-11, but you know, this is more like it for him. He ran in the old Roan Chase. He should really have run in the Veterans Chase on that same day, and he would have absolutely scooted up in that. It didn't seem. I thought he took to the fences quite well last time we tried them, but it's just that big weight would worry me in a race that, if the principals line up, it's going to be run at a fairly furious pace, isn't it? With the likes of Balbriggan in the lineup.
Yeah. In fact, there's a few interesting ones, isn't there? Balbriggan, one of them there. Shakalaka Boom Boom, who's running the National for Nicky Henderson.
Yeah, good time to catch him fresh, first time up.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be fascinating that weekend, isn't it? With the two races over the big fences and the speedsters, if you like, at Sandown, the novices, and the Grade 1 2-milers.
Yeah, the other one over the big fence is Grand Sefton, the Grand Sefton Handicap. That's on site as well, if anyone wants to have a bet at the moment. 6-1 for Rebel Rebellion, Rolling Aces 8, 10s for This Time, Dollar Tulo, and Persian Snow, 11-1 for Bob Ford, and 12-1 or bigger for the others.
That's a big pot for what is basically going to be a decent handicap, and that's all. You know, it's 70 grand in the pot there, you know, and it's... It's not going to be a what you would call a ultra competitive. They're all pretty well exposed, aren't they? The horses in the race, in the lineup.
Yeah, you've got the likes of, you know, Hunt Ball, who's been there. We've probably seen what we're going to see of him, and I'd be relatively interested in King of the Wolds. I think he's still got more to come.
And signs are that Malcolm's horses are just peaking, aren't they? He's had a bit of a quiet spell, and. I think I'd need to see the final decks before I got stuck into that. There's too many ifs and buts there at the moment.
Okay. The big race at Sandown, Mick, the Tingle Creek, obviously no superstar in the line at this time, which means it's open, quite a large field, and open from a betting perspective as well. And
it just shows you, doesn't it, how these so-called superstars scare everybody witless.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
because there's no Sire de Grugio or Sprinter Sacra in the lineup, you're going to have a double figure field, which is unheard of if theirs were around. They just wet themselves, don't they? Right to death.
Yeah, they say you should never be scared of one horse, but when there's two great horses in there, it's a bit more daunting.
But even so, someone's got to go and take them on, isn't it? It just makes an absolute nonsense of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So whilst it's not the highest quality renewal, it is one of the most open renewals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Baldur Succès is the 5-2 market leader. God's Own 9-2. 8s for Oscar Whiskey. Summersby's 9s. Dodging Bullets 10s with Twin Light and Wishful Thinking, and then 12-1 or bigger for the others. Anybody stand out to you in there, Mick?
Not yet, not really. Hinterland is probably the one going forward at the Rays of Knots. He's got to take another step forward, hasn't he? But if there is one in there who might be able to make the transition, it could well be him, with the stable having a great time of it. Of course, you've got the Willie Mullins factor as well. He's triple-handed at the moment. It's a big race meet in Ireland this weekend as well, isn't it, where these horses will all be double-entered. So, whatever Willie runs, Bally Casey might just enjoy it around there, 2 miles around there, if he sends him over. And Tom Mullins got Alderwood, of course. He's no stranger to this sort of level, is he?
No.
So you've got a nice mix there of potential candidates and horses who've already, got proven themselves at the highest level.
Yeah. Going back to Willie Mullins as well, you say he's got three in there. I was reading the Monday Jory, and Katie Walsh was in it, and she said if he does send Twin Light over, he could have a pretty good chance. So.
Well, it comes here on the back of a confidence boost, didn't it? Again, like Hinterland, a horse going forward, I think, Twin Light.
Yeah. Okay, so an exciting weekend to look forward to.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And the novices got quite a nice look about it as well, with the exciting Court Minstrel jocked up for the Henry VIII, won last year by Hinterland.
Mm.
But, what I meant to say was it was a disappointing comeback, wasn't it? Reappearance run. Don't know what happened that day. What was that all about?
Well, a few of Paul Nicholls have needed the run this year, haven't they, and run below to start with.
Yeah, I suppose better at pulling him up and then getting legless in the ground and maybe falling or whatever.
Mm. Yeah.
But I'm sure he'll leave that behind. We know he's a good horse, don't we?
Yeah. Good stuff. Right, shall we move on, Mick? Shall we look at Wednesday? Thursday, unless there's anything else you want to get off your chest?
Not really. It'll probably get lost in the usual Saturday maelstrom, but there's a really good card at Chepstow with a Welsh National Trial, a Class 2, with £20,000 on offer there. And, some competitive stuff there. But as ever, field sizes will suffer because there's far too much of it on Saturdays. And a good card at Chepstow, which could stand up on its own any other day, will get lost in the maelstrom.
Yeah, which is good. It should be good for Huntingdon on Sunday because they've moved the Peterborough Chase to...
Very wise.
To Sunday.
Good thinking, Huntingdon.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done.
Exactly, good. Let's have some good racing on a Sunday. Anyway, let's look at Thursday's action, Mick. You've picked out three races for us at Kempton, and we'll get your thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, Thursday's action. Mick's picked out three for us at Kempton, starting in the 5.15, which is a Class 4 handicap for three-year-olds and older, over five furlongs. 10 of them in the lineup here, Mick. We've gone from talking about chasers to five-furlong sprinters.
The speeders, not 25, some quite useful ones as well, Mark. The weights are headed by Last Time Out winner Searchlight from the Kevin Ryan stable. Shane Gray taking off the five. He's taken a liking to the all-weather services. He's got decent form on Polytrack, Tapita and Fibre Sand. And he won readily enough last time at Lingfield. But his revised mark takes him back into the 80s, a mark that he's so far found beyond him. And I think he's likely to be vulnerable as a three-year-old against smart running into form elders here. So I think he might take a chunk out of the market. He just might be vulnerable with top weight. Baytown Kestrel's interesting. Another three-year-old, Jamie Osborne trains. Still lightly raced on the all-weather, Baytown Kestrel. But she's 4 from 7, which is a heck of a strike rate, isn't it? Being very well placed. First run here, and probably nothing in hand of the handicapper off the mark of 80. But, and there's two big pluses here, the stable of Jamie Osborne is in great form, and Adam Kirby is back on board, and he's 3 from 4 on her, and he was second on the only other ride. Now, that's a big plus for me. Plus, she's got the one box.
Yep.
Well, you know what that game plan will be, don't you? Doesn't it take a rocket scientist to work that one out? So she might just take some pegging back. And the other one to consider is Salvatore Fiore, trained by Keith Dalglish, Jim Crowley taking the ride. The mark's taken him into unknown territory after his six furlong course win last time on his only start here. But he's capable of very smart five furlong form. That was over six, as I said. Don't forget, he finished a close third behind In Exile in a very competitive Class 3 Goodwood sprint at Glorious Goodwood meeting. So he's got very smart turf five furlong form, and he rates a danger to all. But with Kirby back on Baytown Kestrel, I'm staying with her.
Okay, Baytown Kestrel for Mick then in the 5.15. We move on to the 5.45 next, and this is a six furlong maiden for the two-year-olds. 12 of them in the lineup here, Mick. Why have you picked this one? What stands out to you?
I love maidens at Kempton. They don't half throw up a lot of winners of one sort and another, you know, some handicap projects and et cetera, et cetera. But this has got a really sort of interesting look about it with, if you like, a sort of watching brief on quite a few of them. But I'll start with the top one, Green Tornado. He's trained by Rafe Beckett, who's stable, having a great time at the moment. Kirby on board. He's been beaten a long way on both of his turf starts, which you could say, well, what's that all about? But they were both on very testing ground. And he's undoubtedly on pedigree, capable of much better. Maybe a handicap project wants this for a handicap mark. But as I said, the Beckett stable have got their winter string in good form. And if there was a springer in the market, I'd be having him on side. Either way, keep an eye on him. Handicap project, three-year-old handicaps after Christmas. Just keep an eye on Green Tornado. Put him in, if he runs okay, put him in the book. He's out of that good mare, Loch Verdi, and he's half-brother to some decent horses. Stamp of Authority, trained by James Tate. Luke Morris taking the ride on this Son of Invincible Spirit. He's improving with racing, and he has got course experience, and that was over seven. And he was in with every chance at the furlong pole, the trip of this race. I know they run at different tempos, blah, 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 but the drop back in trip for me is a big plus, and he wouldn't have to improve much to win this. And the obvious one, the one that will take probably the chunk out of the market, is Star of the Stage, another one who's improving the experience. A good run in the circumstances last time over this course and distance 3 weeks ago, considering where he had a good draw. I think he was drawing one or two, and he missed the break, so he ended up with a wall of horses in front of him, had to battle his way through the pack, and did manage to finish third. So if he doesn't reproduce that, because he's got a slightly iffy draw this time, 10.
Yeah.
He can't afford to be missing the break from 10, which could sway me towards the other one, Stamp of Authority. But on form, I think he's probably the one to beat. But there's plenty of interesting ones here. Kevin Ryan runs another one, the Shape of Stenid. He's got two in the race, Kevin Ryan, moving upwards with Shane Gray on board and Stenid. Both of those won't keep in a close eye on. Thames Knight, another son of Sir Percy, Marcus Tregonin trains that one. He wants this for a handicap mark. Keep an eye on him, as does the Roger Charlton filly, First Defence, the only filly in the lineup. And on what we've seen so far, with this out of the way, she's going to get a fairly tasty handicap mark for a three-year-old filly's handicap. You see what I mean, Mark?
Yeah.
Plenty to sort of analyse about this after it's been done and dusted.
Yeah. Could be very informative, yeah.
Yeah, but for win purposes, I think Star of the Stage, if you can overcome that slightly iffy box, is the one.
Okay, Star of the Stage then in the 5.45. We finish in the 7.15, which is a Class 5 handicap over a mile and a half. It's for three-year-olds and older. And Chauvelin caught my eye, Mick, because he's had three starts so far. Yeah. Two of them over a mile and one of them over 10 furlongs. Steps up to a mile and a half for his handicap debut here today.
Yeah, well, this is just, you know, like one of the horses we're talking about who comes out of these maidens and then suddenly take a step forward. And he is going up in trip for his handicap debut, which will be no problem for a son of Sir Percy. The mark 67, not generous. You could hardly say he was thrown in on what he's actually done, but he does look the type to do better. And his brother, Van Persie, was very good at around these trips, isn't he? A very progressive handicapper, a year older than him.
Yep.
Improved for the step up to middle distances. Yeah, he's on the shortlist, Mark, and I would imagine there'll be plenty of activity in the ring for him. Okay. Thane of Cawdor likes it here. His course and distance win came off this mark, remains in good form, and ran well for Kirby last time. That was his first and only ride on him, Thane of Cawdor, and for me, that puts him right in the mix. But I'm going to go out a little bit out of left field here for the selection, and it's the Cornish Cowboy, who is trained by John Ryan. We know what how John is adept at bringing them back to form. He looks as though he's running himself into form. Wasn't beaten very far last time, and he's dangerously well handicapped on his turf form. He's £15 lower than his last turf win, and he's £4 lower than his last all-weather win. And he was only beaten, what, a length or so last time, although he only finished fifth of eight. He was only beaten less than two lengths, wasn't he, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
And we know he's effective here, and he's going to be a nice prize. And John Ryan's adept at this. The Cornish Cowboy for me.
Mm.
And well, it should be an each-way prize.
OK, the Cornish Cowboy then in the 7.15. Let's have a quick summary, Mick, if you'll spin us through your thoughts one more time.
Yeah, I like the booking of Kirby for Baytown Kestrel in the 5.15. In the 5.45, star of the stage, if he doesn't miss the beat as he did last time, he should be good enough to take the maiden. And in the 7.15, watch out for the Cornish Cowboy from his good draw in to get a nice position and take advantage of that lenient-looking handicap mark.
OK, fantastic. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM. Ross Briley, Rory Delaghi and Darren Owen with the team in the studio. We have three jumpers in the afternoon, Leicester Market Raisin and Wyn Canton. And we finish the day with this card at Kempton. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.